Well, good morning. I'm glad that you're listening into Wyndham Community Chapel's service of June 21st, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads who are listening this morning. My name is Pastor Gary DeHaas, and it's great to have you listening from your homes today or wherever you might be. As always, it's my hope and prayer that as we spend this time together in the presence of God and in His Word, that God will bless your life, that He will speak into your life. I trust that the Bible study that sent out every Tuesday morning just encourages you as we look at the one another's of Scripture, how we are as God's children to be responding and relating to one another. It's my desire that as we continue to share this unusual time in the life of America, the world, and church, that we will continue to be able to lift one another up in prayer. And I know that there are requests that you may have needs and concerns in your life, and I just want to encourage you to keep sending those in, that we might be sharing that burden with you before God, who we know can make an awful lot of difference in all of our lives. So continue to keep sending them in to me. Well, this morning, the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 will call us to worship. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today as we gather remotely. We celebrate Father's Day, and we give you thanks for placing them in our lives. We are thankful for how fathers have shaped and molded us, especially those who love you and sought to bring their children up to love and to honor you. For their love and desire to provide for us, we are thankful. You have used this relationship in our lives to help us to become who we are today with your grace and mercy. Bless fathers today. It is our joy and privilege to be able to call you our Heavenly Father. And this is only through your grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you saved us and adopted us into your forever family. We don't deserve and we haven't earned this. It is only through your amazing grace that this occurred. And this is the foundation of our love for you and the worship that we offer you today. We respond to your invitation in Matthew chapter 11 to come to you, to bring our cares and burdens into your presence and find rest for our weary souls. It is in your presence that you teach us that faith in you is not a heavy burden, but rather it lightens our load and eases our burden. For those carrying heavy loads today, I pray that they will find relief in you. May the words that we offer in praise to you and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you this day, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a few reminders for us as church family. Don't forget that today concludes the Branches Pregnancy Resource Center baby bottle fundraising campaign. Remember, we've been talking about the fact that with the coronavirus, we haven't been actually passing out the physical baby bottles, but we've been encouraging you to send in checks and money that would be similar to what you would be sharing in the change from the baby bottles. Remember, we've talked about the fact that a baby bottle holds about $13 in nickels and about $47 in dimes. So I just want to challenge you to be generous and to share with this ministry as they protect the unborn and as they teach and train mom and dads to bring children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Also remember that your offering, as you have faithfully been giving to the church during this time, we continue to have financial needs, to meet the obligations that we have. And we just want to encourage you to continue to faithfully send in your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Thank you for your generous support. We appreciate it. Well, this morning, we want to turn to the Lord in prayer and bring some of the requests that have come in and some of the needs that we're aware of to our Heavenly Father. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are so thankful that you have provided salvation for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who resides within each believer, for it reminds us that we are not alone on this journey of life. You are with us and you provide perfectly for us as we trust in you. Help us, Father, to learn to lean not on our own understanding, but to always acknowledge that your ways are better than our ways, and your thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. Help us to walk in the path that you've prepared for us, and not to go our own way. We are grateful for our brothers and sisters in the Lord that you have placed in our lives. Thank you that we carry each other's burdens as we learn to follow you. Father, there are those here with us this morning that have problems and difficulties and burdens that they are carrying. Let them know that they aren't forsaken nor forgotten. And as they reach out to in faith to you, provide direction and help to guide them on the path of righteousness. Father, I continue to pray for a spiritual awakening in your people. I ask that hearts will once again burn hot with love for you. I pray that your children will desire to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with their God. You have provided a pause in our hectic, busy 21st century lives over the last 3 months. And I pray it will not be wasted, but will cause your people to reorganize and adjust their priorities to match your word and your heart. Help us to be more effective in these days to your most important commands, to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We pray for the gospel and its effects all over the world. We pray for the missionaries that we partner with, for the Rosses in Arizona and Beth Wise in Taiwan. Give wisdom and spiritual strength and make them effective in their work for your kingdom. We pray for the preaching of your word this morning. Help us to be drawn to your truth as we listen. Help us to be convicted of sin and wrong as the Holy Spirit reveals that to us. Help us to be obedient to your commands for holy living. Cause us to desire righteousness and to overcome our self-will. Father, give me clarity of thought and the power of the Holy Spirit as I preach this morning. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, we're nearing the end of our sermon series in Psalm 23, looking at stress relief. And today we come to verse 5 of Psalm 23, entitled God's Answer to Your Hurt. Well, in this verse, the psalmist deals with God's response to us when we get hurt. In the presence of our enemies, of those people who seek to injure us and do us harm, God gives us three answers to overcome these injuries. They are, let Jesus' presence satisfy your soul. And then second, let Jesus heal my injuries. And then third, let Jesus meet your needs. We all have enemies, people in our lives who seek to do us harm. Well, almost everyone. A reporter was interviewing an old man on his 100th birthday. He asked, "What are you most proud of?" "Well," said the man, "I don't have an enemy in the world." "What a beautiful thought. How inspirational," said the reporter. "Yes," added the centurion, "I outlived every last one of them." Well, it's in the presence of our enemies, of those people who bring pain and suffering into our lives, that God wants to remind us that He is there. He brings help and real answers into our lives at this emotionally difficult time. There are many ways to respond or deal with the situation when you've been emotionally injured. Most of them are insufficient to deal with the pain and to heal the injury. Let me give you a few of the common responses. What do you do when you're hurt? Well, a lot of people just ignore it. Pretend it doesn't exist. Hope it will go away. This is the ostrich head in the sand approach. We often try to cope with our hurt by pretending it just doesn't exist. There are several methods to accomplish this, which is kind of why I gravitate toward this method. You can first deny that it hurts. Somehow we think that if we pretend like it doesn't hurt, then we deny them the pleasure of seeing us in pain. The problem is, we are in pain and it won't go away by itself. Or we could downgrade it. "It's no big deal. It didn't hurt me that bad. I've been hurt much worse." Though that may be true, you still are in pain. Or then you could pretend like it didn't even happen. We keep going through life as though it never occurred. We say that we don't have time to deal with such petty issues right now. We might even increase our activities to avoid having the time to deal with it. In reality, we are running away from it because it is difficult and unpleasant. Ignoring your hurt never heals it. In fact, it just keeps getting more painful. In Psalm 39, verses 2 and 3, we read, "But when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me, and as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue." Whenever we pretend like it didn't happen, our hearts burn with anguish and anger. Eventually, an explosion of words proceeds from our mouth. I call this verbal throwing up. The pain and injury finds its release by causing someone else similar pain and injury. And somehow, in some crazy way, this makes us feel better. The problem is that we've just compounded our problems by retaliating, which is sin. Well, if you're not a pretender, you might be a runner. Run away from it. Escape. Retreat into your own little world. Pain is to be avoided at all costs. Do whatever you need to do so that you don't have to face the source of your hurt. Runners tend to find ways to escape from the grip of pain in their lives. They use unhealthy methods like alcohol or drugs or pornography or materialism or divorce. Sometimes they use seemingly innocent escapes like work or movies or television or books or hobbies. The difficulty is that after all this activity, the problem still exists and the hurts still remain. Well, if you're not a pretender or a runner, you might be a hider. This person tries to deal with their real pain by keeping it hidden from everyone else. Perhaps they feel that good Christians should be able to deal with problems in a stoic and matter-of-fact way. Perhaps they think that good Christians don't have these kinds of problems. Perhaps they are trying to keep people from knowing their inner feelings. And so they wear a mask that camouflages their pain. These are people who, when asked how they are, respond, "Fine, thank you," when they are obviously not okay. Hide and disguise is their motive. But the reality is that hiding a hurt only intensifies it. The real danger is that one of the first steps to healing is to share your pain and hurt. Acknowledgement, first to yourself and then to others, is essential if God is going to heal your pain. There is a strange connection between hiding our hurts from others and hiding it from God. Now, we all know that you can't hide anything from the God of the universe, but strangely, we still try to. We fool ourselves into thinking that no one else knows or even cares, including God. Well, if you're not a pretender or a runner or a hider, perhaps you're a worrier. As we've already learned in the first sermon in this series, worry is an attempt to control the uncontrollable. Worry never solves problems, and it certainly doesn't heal hurts. In fact, it increases the size of your pain. Your pain is exaggerated and magnified each time you worry about it. In our mind's eye, the problem gets larger and the pain increases with each new worrying episode. Well, if you're not a pretender or a runner or a hider or a worrier, perhaps you're just bitter. You've become bitter, angry, cynical. We throw a pity party for ourselves and then become angrier because no one shows up. Anger left alone produces bitterness. And bitterness just makes you an unpleasant person to be around. Angry at the world, angry at God, angry with the people in your life who've let you down, angry with your boss, and angry with life in general. Life is unfair, and you believe you deserve better than what you've received. All this leads to bitterness. And as we discovered several weeks ago, the difference between bitter and better is one little letter. You can choose to let your pain and hurts inflicted upon you by others make you a stronger believer who trusts God, or work it out on your own and become that bitter person that everyone avoids like the plague. But you know, God has something else in mind for his children. And he provides three steps to help us overcome our pain. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." First, by preparing a table before us, we are to let Jesus' presence satisfy our souls. Once again, the psalmist here changes scenery. In verse 5, we move from a field into the desert. So picture a hot, panting fugitive who is fleeing for his life, pursued and hunted by his enemies. Almost at the end of his rope, he finally comes to the tent of a Bedouin. And now he is a guest, and a guest is safe. Such is the fate of Arab hospitality. So too, as God's children, our souls are pursued by enemies, which disturb its peace and threaten to do it great harm. What are some of the enemies that chase our soul across our time here on earth? Well, certainly it's the sin of yesterday. I cannot get away from it, and its guilt follows me wherever I go. And then there is the temptation of today. Sometimes he approaches me in deceptive ways. Sometimes its advance is so subtle that I am caught in his snare. And then there is the unknown that awaits me tomorrow. The unknown future weighs heavy upon our lives. It produces uncertainty and fear. We are tempted to hold tightly and control our destiny. And though this is futile, it's all we can seem to do. It creates unrest in our souls and uncertainty in our daily lives. The what-ifs of life can overwhelm us. The fear of being hurt again or more by our enemies drives us to look for a safe and secure place for our souls. And the only safe and secure place we have is in the Lord's presence. The psalmist tells us that God is our host, and in his presence we are safe. Our enemies cannot harm us as long as we remain a guest in his presence. The table he sets before us is in full view of the enemies of our souls. The sin of yesterday that seeks to rob us of our peace cannot touch us. The temptation of today that seeks to ensnare us and lead us in the path of unrighteousness cannot overcome us. The fear of the unknown and the uncertainty that it produces in our lives cannot overwhelm our faith in God. In the Lord our God is our refuge in times of emotional pain and hurt. In the Lord our God, we are secured against the destructiveness of our yesterdays, the menaces of today, and the darkening fears of tomorrow. Run, don't walk to Jesus when you have been hurt by your enemies. It is only in his presence that your soul will be preserved from the evil effects it can have on your life. There, and only there, can you be assured of his everlasting protection and help in your time of trouble. Well, after you have run into his presence, you must let Jesus heal your injuries. Our text says, "You anoint my head with oil." In Scripture, oil has both a medicinal purpose and a comforting sense. Oil was used as a salve, an ointment that aided in the healing of wounds. When a sheep had an open wound, the shepherd would use it as an ointment. It would protect them and keep the wound moist. When David says, "You anoint my head with oil," he is saying God is going to help heal our wounds. Psalm 147 verse 3 declares, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." But oil is also a soothing agent for our wounds. The most irritating enemy of sheep is flies. Now, I've never heard of a sheep being killed by flies, but they are a constant companion that they can't get rid of. They can't shake off the flies either by their hooves or by their tail. The flies get up their nose and lay eggs, and the larva drives them crazy. So the shepherd would pour oil mixed with sulfur on the sheep to prevent the flies from driving them crazy. It soothed the flea bites and also prevented the flies from making the wool its permanent home. You know, so much of our lives contain little things that irritate us and seek to drive us crazy. It might be people like a boss or a parent or a church member or a neighbor or a politician, maybe even your spouse. It might be things like the weather or the lack of finances or the uncertainty of your job situation, the rise in taxes or a car that keeps breaking down. The accumulative effect upon your life is low-level discomfort. Into the enemy of your soul, God promises to anoint our head with oil. He says, the things that irritate you, I'll take care of. This is a little restorative work in your soul. You're down and the circumstances of life have overwhelmed you. Only God can soothe those hurts. The oil of the Holy Spirit, who Scripture calls the Comforter, is God's soothing and healing instrument in our lives. At His disposal are all the healing tools of God. Let me share with you just a few of the common ones. The Holy Spirit uses the local church. Church ought to be a hospital where hurting sinners can find healing. An atmosphere of acceptance and love ought to permeate our church family. It needs to be a safe and secure environment with grace, not condemnation, flows. From your fellow believers, you should find support. We need to fight the temptation to isolate ourselves and handle things on our own. For you need the fellowship of God's people. It is God's soothing oil to us. But God also uses prayer. As much as you need to talk to a fellow believer to gain support and encouragement, you need to access the power of God directly. You need to talk to Him. He knows your heart, your hurts, and your pain. In His hands is the answer that you're looking for. It is in His presence that you will discover the soothing oil of healing for your emotional pain. But then God also uses worship. After you have spent time on your knees in the presence of Almighty God, you should be driven to worship Him for His magnificence. The God of the universe is also the God who cares for you in your pain. He cares for His children as a mother cares for her precious children. This knowledge ought to cause us to magnify the Lord and lift up His holy name. When we focus our attention on God and not on our painful hurts, it is amazing to see how our spirits are lifted up. In view of the God of the universe, our momentary problems seem light and easy. As we sing of His great love for us, and the amazing things, an amazing thing happens to us. He brings emotional healing to our lives. God uses praise and His word to build us up and to bind up our wounds. Worship is another ingredient in God's soothing oil that He anoints us with. After you have run into His presence and you have let Jesus heal your injuries, you must let Jesus meet your every need. This is found in the words, "My cup overflows." In the desert, liquid is a valuable commodity. It may make the difference between life and death. So this valuable resource is not wasted, not even one drop. When the psalmist talks about an overflowing cup, it illustrates an overabundance. It is a symbol for total satisfaction. It means I've got everything I need. Jesus is saying to those who are hurting and in pain inflicted upon them by others that he has more help for you than you can imagine. It is only God who can heal our broken hearts and bind up our emotional wounds. True and complete healing for emotional wounds can only be found in the presence of God. And he has more than enough of what you need for healing. But so often we look to people to help us and not God. Unfortunately, no person can help like God. Eventually, they will disappoint you and they will let you down. No person can heal your broken marriage. Nobody can fill the emptiness in your soul. You have needs that only God can meet. And thank God, he is more than sufficient to meet them. He fills the cup of your life with an overflowing amount of himself. God never runs dry. His grace to you is without measure or end. If you look to him, you will have more than enough to overcome your painful past and your difficult current situation. Let me just remind us of what God gives us. He gives us hope. Hope of a better future, of full and complete recovery from the injuries suffered at the hands of others. The Apostle Paul prays for this in Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope, true and lasting hope, is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. With him and in him, we can know for certain that our best days are still ahead of us. But God also gives to us love. In another letter, this time to the church at Thessalonica, Paul prays this in chapter 3 and verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Overflowing love for each other is another abundant grace God gives to us to help us heal our broken lives. His love, which knows no boundaries and is eternal, is ours in overflowing measure. Remember, God can't love you any more than he does right now, and he can't love you any less. His love for you is perfect and timeless. It is this love, expressed first to us, that we are to display to others. For loving others is a wonderful gift of God given to those in need of emotional healing. Another grace that God gives to us is joy. Jesus said in John 16:24, ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Joy is the delight of our soul. It allows us to rise above the hurts and pains and recognize the goodness of God in our lives. It brings gladness to our hearts and supersedes the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Joy is implanted in our hearts, in the hearts of God's children, when we recognize and affirm his sovereign control in our lives. After the darkness of our hurts comes joy in the morning. In the Middle East, there is a custom regarding guests. it dealt with that sometimes awkward situation about not overstaying your welcome. We've all had that struggle, either as a host wondering if our guests were ever going to leave, or as a guest wondering when we can get out of here without offending our host. In the Middle East, the key was filling the cup. If you came to somebody's house, even if you were a total stranger, the first thing you do is offer them a cup of water or wine. They drink the cup and you refill it. And as long as the cup kept being refilled, it meant that you were welcomed to stay. If you came to somebody's house and after several refills, they left the cup empty, it meant your time is up. It was time for you to leave. If the host decided he really liked the person and wanted him to stay for a long time, they would take the cup and fill it, not only to the rim, but they would let it overflow. When God says that he fills our cup and it overflows, he is saying that he wants us to stay in his presence forever, to experience the healing from our injuries and to receive the hope and love and joy that he provides as healing salve for our wounded life. He is telling you that he loves you and you are special to him. The table that God prepares for you is not a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but a banquet complete with the best spiritual foods he has to offer. It is all available to you as long as you stay in his presence and choose to consume it. And the invitation to stay and feast indefinitely has been given by God, our host. But will you accept it? Today, God invites you to come and feast at the table of his riches provided for you out of his eternal abundance. This is God's answer to your hurt. Let's pray. Father, we all have experienced hurts in our lives. Some of them have cut deep and the effects have been felt for years. Others are just long-lasting and seemingly constant in our lives. And perhaps some of them stay with us even to this day. Thank you that you have an answer to help us overcome these hurts. So, Father, help us to let Jesus, his presence, satisfy our souls. Help us to let Jesus heal our injuries, no matter how severe they are. Help us to turn to Jesus and allow him to meet every need that is associated with our hurts. Thank you that in your presence we find healing for our injuries and hope for a brighter future. Give grace and mercy in abundance to those in need today for the hurts in their lives. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today, I want to leave you with this benediction found in Ephesians chapter 3. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you again next Sunday. Lord bless you.